Luke chapter 18, verse 9 following. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all that I get." But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Just a few moments of reflection on the passage from Luke chapter 18, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Why has this been such a gripping parable for me over the years? Why has it been like this story of the very respectable religious guy who thought he was better than everyone else, and the tax collector who was, in the eyes of society and the world, of the status quo, he was hated. He was on the take, so to speak, wasn't he? He was working for the occupying power, and he was taking more money from people than he needed to take. But if people were in fear and they were scared for their lives, they'd give him the money. This was a hated person. The mob, really. The mob, someone that was hated. And yet he was the one who was repentant before God. Probably done some terrible things. But he was the one who went from the temple justified. And I think that this has been a gripping story because I have seen it work in my own life during the years. A Pharisee and a tax collector who are kind of wrestling for my soul, in a way. We all have seen that. We've all seen those two figures working within us. And we place a lot of security on what we gather around us, don't we? Place a lot of security what we gather around us. We like our institutions and our societies because they give us something to identify with. I was listening to a student a while back who wasn't doing very well in his studies. In fact, I often talk here about students who are not doing very well in their studies. I do have quite a few good students. Yeah. A student who wasn't doing very well in his studies, and I've got some pastoral responsibility in the college to sit down with these students and talk to them. And he started to open up in a way that he didn't in class, and he started to say, "Well, I know where I am." And I said, "Well, what are you? You know, tell me." He said, I've got my life, I've got my girlfriend, and I've got my football team. I won't tell you which team it was. Well, it was Wolves, but, you know, got his team. And that was his identity, you know. And he somehow just kind of stumbled into college with no particular aim. And wasn't really trying. So we place emphasis on a lot of the things that we gather around us. And the Pharisee, in a sense, was kind of like this. He was very sure of what he did. He fasted And he did all sorts of good things. You know, he kept the law. And these things were good. And he placed emphasis on these things that he gathered around him because it gave him identity. Most of all, it gave him respectability. And it's good to have respectability. That tends to be measured by what we've called upward mobility nowadays, you know. You got upward mobility, and we're all after that. Everybody wants that. I want it as well, you know. We've got respectability, and these are some of the securities we gather around us. And no doubt these securities are important. We all want to get ahead. We always all want others to look at us and say, my, aren't they well-dressed? Haven't they a nice car, a nice house? Social status is very important. Respectability is very important. We've got the cult of celebrity now, you know. People scrambling who have had careers and their careers are beginning to, you know, so they get on TV reality shows and try to preserve the sense of celebrity, the sense of identity. And we all sit and watch them and scratch our heads and say, wonder why, you know. But we still sit and watch them anyway. Okay? It's the cult of celebrity. And lately we've seen this debate which went on about to Brexit or not to Brexit. And we're going to Brexit, as we see. And there's no going back. That's what we're going to do. That's what the country has decided. And if you watch the political debate beforehand, the politicians were all kind of fighting for their own corner. But the problem was they were fighting for their own political ideology as well. And the whole debate was captured by what I think is political tribalism. And left the common person like myself totally confused what it was all about. If someone had actually stood up and said, this is what will happen if we leave Europe, and this is what will happen if we stay in Europe, we might have had a clearer picture. But political tribalism and ideologies capture the debate. Politicians gathering around them what was important to them. Their career, their own futures, their own security. Never mind the security and the futures of people in the country. And that's why people get angry and frustrated. And whether a voting was for or against, I'm not arguing for that this morning. Whether a voting was for and against, it was because of a debate which was selfish. And politicians gathered around themselves what was important to them and not for other people. So we tend to gather around us what we think is important. This is what the Pharisee did. He gathered around him what was important because he had a certain status. He thought, oh, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. I thank you that I am not like this tax collector here. Now, we don't justify what the tax collector was doing. We don't justify the fact he was working for the mob. We don't justify that. But Jesus is telling this parable to make us aware of our own tendency to do this at times. And we can see our own tendency to do that as we read the parable. The tax collector was the one who left the temple justified. Years ago, Robert Burns, my wife and I, once a year, we like to go to the Burns suppers, you know, and I stood up and my favorite Burns poem, apart from always reading My Love is Like a Red, Red Rose to my wife, apart from that, I like to read Holy Willie's Prayer. Because it's just like this. If you read Holy Willie's Prayer, if you can understand it, there's bits of it I don't understand. But if you read Holy Willie's Prayer, you can understand enough to... Holy Willie was saying to God, oh, I thank you, I'm not like him and her. And I thank you that you've made me really good, oh God. And I know I've done things wrong, but I know you forgive me anyway. You know, it really does capture the essence of what Jesus is saying in the parable Holy Willie's Prayer. So if you've got a copy of Bunn's poems or you get it on the net, look at Holy Willie's Prayer. It's one of Bunn's most profound poems and says a lot about religious life. It really does. So if you've got a spare hour, you can read Holy Willie's Prayer, if you can understand it. You might need a translation by it. I certainly do. But it's a very interesting prayer about religious hypocrisy. I suppose the Pharisee set himself at distance from the world. He set himself at distance from other people. He placed faith in what he had gathered around him, what he thought he was, and he had missed the whole point. He had missed the chance of a real relationship with God. I wonder how much emphasis we place on what we think we are at times. We all do. This is for every one of us, myself included. Place faith in what is around us, on the identity that we've built up. And that's important. It is important. I'm not knocking it. It's important. But it takes second place to our need for a relationship with God. So if we find ourselves comparing ourselves to others in a negative way, we indeed allow the Pharisee in us to take over. Instead, we should be saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I don't think that when I stand before God, God will be interested really, primarily, in the number of letters I have after my name. And if you've got a spare hour, you can read all those letters, but it doesn't matter, really. It doesn't matter. That's not what is important to God, primarily. I don't think God will be interested in the type of car I've got. I don't think God will be primarily interested in even the denomination I'm now a part of. Not really, not primarily. That may be important, but it's secondary to the reality of a relationship with God. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. So all those things we gather around us that we think make us respectable, all those things that others see us do, all those things that signify what it means to be religious in the 20th century, all those Christmas fairs, all the fundraising, all the new building projects, all those things might be important, but they are secondary to the reality of a relationship, a living relationship with God. And I can't help but see the idea of the Pharisee and the tax collector in us all, wrestling for our souls in a way. That's an interesting picture. I think that's why I've always been brought back to this particular parable over and over again. How would we, just to take a few minutes just in finishing, how would we make this more modern? How would we make this story more modern? How would we reinterpret it? There's nothing wrong with not changing the Bible as such, but finding a kind of illustration. And I suppose we think you could say a famine relief worker and an international terrorist went up to the temple to pray, or up to church to pray, or wherever it was they prayed. The famine relief worker was a very popular person who everyone respected. He'd done all these drilling projects, all the developmental work, all the projects and all the lives that he had saved, had the immense respect of the world because of this. International terrorist has spent his life murdering people for whatever reasons he'd done so. And he was the one who stood before God and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And if we reckon on that, we don't like it. We don't like it. Because the bloke that's the relief worker has done so much. Sure, he's done so much. And it's very important what he's done. Very important what he's done. Sometimes we feel a sense of injustice. When I hear the story of the prodigal son and the waste of the inheritance, he wasted his whole inheritance until he was left in poverty and returned home to his father. And his elder brother complained. He said, it's unfair. You're accepting him back and you're giving him the fatted calf and you've got a celebration because he's returned. But the prodigal son was the one who was justified before God. But we feel a sense of injustice. I've always kind of sympathized with the older brother. But maybe that's the Pharisee and tax collector within me, wrestling for my soul. God, be merciful to me, a sinner, is where we begin, is the priority and where we begin to find the relationship with God. Everything we have around us in our lives is important. We've worked for careers, for children, for what we have. These things are important. But they are secondary to the reality of a relationship with God in Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Christ, be with me. Christ within me. Christ behind me. Christ before me. Christ beside me. Christ to win me. Christ to comfort and restore me. Christ beneath me. Christ above me, Christ in quiet and in danger. Christ in hearts of all that love me. Christ in mouth of friend and stranger.